Congratulations. You found it.
You know what time it is.
This is New York Game Day. It's 3 hours of the most informative and entertaining NFL news in the league. Now here's former NFL defensive lineman Chris Canty, former Jets GM and ESPN insider Mike Tannenbaum, and your host, Anita Marks.
Welcome in, welcome in. It is New York Game Day here on 98.7 ESPN. We've been with you all season long. Of course, talking a lot about the Jets and the Giants, unfortunately, two subpar seasons. So here we are, and we finally made it to our Super Bowl that kicks off later on this evening around 6 o'clock. And as we know, it's the Kansas City Chiefs. They are the visiting team in Tampa. So be it, against the Tampa Bay Bucks. Anita Marks with you, as always, and rounding out our crew, Chris Canty, back in action for us, excited about it. He's in the studios in New York City, and of course, Mike Tannenbaum as well. The three of us have been with you all season long. So, gentlemen, let's do this. Let's kind of go around the table. And Chris, I want to start with you because, you know, obviously, you know this more so than anyone else. You know, kind of take us into the night last night with these players. In Kansas City, the Kansas City Chiefs, of course, as we know, they're in Tampa, as well as the Tampa Bay Bucks. What did they go through last night? Did they get any sleep? Were they tossing and turning? Like, you know, what do players go through in the course of the night before, the eve before the Super Bowl?
It's a whole range of emotions, Anita. And, of course, you do the film breakdown. You go through the play call. And I remember our defense, we used to go through about 25 plays, and we'd make all our calls and checks in real time, and then we'd buzz through one play and then get to the next play, and we'll just talk about the different coaching points. But after you do that, we had an opportunity to come back together for a team meeting, and I remember Tom Coughlin addressing the team, and it really was less about the game and more about the group of men that we had in that room. And, you know, I just, you know, in not so many words, I remember his message being, I love you guys, and I know you guys love each other. And that's what matters most when we take that field tomorrow night. And it's just, that was just something that always resonated with me. And I knew that in the critical moments of the Super Bowl, that we were going to execute. Our guys were going to do everything that it took to execute, just because it wasn't about the individual. It was about the guy next to you. It was about sacrificing for the greater good of the team. And that's what allows a team to achieve and to compete and win at the highest level. And so I'm sure that both teams were going through that last night. You know, I can't speak to the messaging that was coming from BA or from Andy Reid, but I got to think a lot of it had to do with just the journey that they had all been on and everything that's led to them being able to get to this point, and the coaches saying how proud they were of their teams.
Mike, let's go to you. And you know, what are general managers thinking at this point? You know, the night before, they work so hard, so diligently, not just with their scouting department and drafting the right players, but also in regard to free agency. I could only imagine what the suits in Tampa are thinking in regard to the fact that they were able to land Tom Brady. And of course, we're all assuming that they would not have been here and not gotten to this point without Tom Brady. What are general managers thinking about the night before the game?
It's really a sense of fulfillment. You know, the hay's really in the barn when you're with your team all year. You're constantly tweaking things, and obviously, you know, speaking to so many people around the league during the year, you know, this year was so challenging. You know, we saw earlier in the preparation, DeMarcus Robinson, Daniel Kilgore had to go into protocols just because, you know, they were close to a barber who apparently had it. So that's just like the most recent example of everything that these organizations had to do just to get to this point. So there's a sense of fulfillment, but there's also a sense of, like, you know, what's possibly next. And that's obviously going to be, you know, dealing with, you know, the massive amount of decisions you have to make at the, you know, once the game's over, win or lose. So when you're in the playoffs and obviously ultimately the Super Bowl, like, you feel great, you feel satisfied, you're anxious, but then, you know, the next decision's, you know, literally, you know, just a couple of weeks away. So there's fulfillment, but then there's, you know, what's around the corner next?
You know, it's really interesting, guys. You know, again, we've been talking about this matchup for 2 weeks now, right? And one thing that came out this week that I thought was really interesting is that the Tampa Bay Bucks did not expect to be here. They thought that this, especially in a pandemic environment, Tom Brady first season, new offense, getting to really know his players, that they really not, and again, let me preface, I mean, this is the ultimate goal. Of course, this is what they wanted to do, but everything that's being reported is that this is a year early. Like, they thought like next year was going to be their Super Bowl run. This was going to be kind of, all right, let's get our feet wet. Let's gel, let's jive, let's get it together. And they arrived here a lot quicker than they thought they would, which I think is quite interesting. Chris, let's go back to you. You know, thoughts on the game and game script. You know, like, I think everybody has an idea and a vision and how this game is going to play out. And for me, I try to do that with each and every game because that's how I gamble. That's how I bet, based on game script and what I anticipate to happen. And of course, you're laughing because, you know, a lot of times I'm not right. But I'm not curious.
Laughing because you're not right.
Yes, you are. I know why you're laughing.
A bit of a degenerate because you look at everything through the lens of gambling.
I do. It's my job. So, isn't that a great excuse? I'm really curious. Like, game script, Chris. Like, write the story out for us. And Mike, I'm going to come to you. So envision that as well. But game script, how do you see this game playing out, Chris?
Well, here's the thing, Anita. Before we even get to the game, I think one of the things that could have a big impact is Andy Reid's son, Britt Reid, who's the linebackers coach, not coaching in this game. And we know about the accident that took place a couple of nights ago. And so I'm wondering how that's going to impact that linebackers group and that defense as a whole, because your linebackers are your communicators. Like, those are the guys that are directing traffic. Those are the guys that are the most vocal pre-snap with making all the checks, making all the calls. And so without having that conduit between the defensive line and the second and third levels of the defense, I'm just interested to see how the communication works, especially early on. Because you got to think that B.A., they're going to script that first 10 to 15 plays, and there's going to be a lot of tempo in there because Tom Brady's going to want to get it going. So it'd be interesting to watch that early on. And I guess I led with that when we start talking about game script, because I think the Tampa Bay Bucs formula is going to be similar to what their formula was against the Green Bay Packers in the NFC Championship game. I see this offense being really aggressive early on, trying to push the ball down the field, trying to get up on this Kansas City Chiefs team and try to play from ahead. I think that's the way that they're able to maintain balance. They're able to stay with their running game, which allows them to utilize play action and continue to push the ball down the field. So, to me, I think how much Tom Brady's able to dictate the complexion of the game is going to go a long ways to determining the outcome of the game. If they're able to play from ahead, I mean, if they're able to get up on this Chiefs defense early and continue to have balance, I think this Chiefs defense is going to have a really hard time stopping this Bucs offense.
Mike?
Yeah, let's stay with that side of the ball. I think there's a subtle but important sort of observation about how Tampa Bay likes to attack teams, more specifically Tom Brady. And again, based on my time with the Jets and the Dolphins, unfortunately I've seen this quite a bit. Tom Brady is exceptional in a lot of things, but really exceptional when it comes to play action pass. So, couple things. In play action pass, all year, he averages 11.28 yards per attempt, which is number one in the league. And he's pressured the least amount of any quarterback. So he gets the ball further down the field with less pressure. And when you go to the three playoff games against Washington, New Orleans, and Green Bay, their number of running attempts was 29, 35, and 24. And I see it differently from Chris from this standpoint. I think they need to be balanced from snap one. And if they're able to stay balanced, capture the line of scrimmage, run the ball, that's where their explosive plays come off of. He's just not as talented as Patrick Mahomes, who can just sling it all over the park. And we'll get to that side of the ball in a minute. But I think Steve Spagnuolo, the defense coordinator of Kansas City, historically likes to pressure. And he can't do that if they're worrying about stopping the run. So I think Tampa's run game sets up the explosives in the pass game. Statistically, that's bore it out. Historically, that's played out. So, to me, that's where this game may be won and lost. And the other thing, if I'm Tampa Bay, that I'm really it's important to me is every time I run the ball, that's one last snap that Patrick Mahomes can throw it.
Mike, I see it the exact same way you see it. And I guess what I was saying is I think that's how it has to play out for Tampa. Like, they've got to get up and they've got to score and they've got to stay ahead in this ball game, just because that allows them to stay with the run. Like, I mean, you're not going to be able to stay with the running game if you're down double digits, if you're down two possessions, three possessions.
Yeah,
so I think that's going to be the key for Tampa. I mean, they've got to be able to play with a lead in this game because that allows them to continue to have balance, similar to what they did in the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, no, I see what you're saying, Chris. I thought you just meant that they were going to come out throwing to, you know, I think they can, again, stay balanced early, but I totally understand your point. Now, on the other side of the ball, to me, here's what's really interesting. I think from a fan perspective, we got a key on one player early on, and that's arguably a Hall of Famer tight end in Travis Kelce, and more specifically, with Mike Remmers playing left tackle, does Andy Reid early in the game heavy up the protection to help out, given the fact that basically Kansas City is playing with five backup offensive linemen, and Remmers at left tackle is a huge mismatch. So Andy Reid's a guy that wants to get as many guys out, you know, in the pattern four. You know, he wants to get as many guys out as quickly as possible. He doesn't like to keep the running back in. He doesn't like to keep the tight end in. But early on, to slow down that Tampa Bay pass rush, that's what I'm looking to see. And then if I'm on the other side of the ball, if I'm Todd Bowles, the defensive coordinator of Tampa Bay, here's where I think there's a little bit of a conflict. One is, of course, you want to pressure Patrick Mahomes, but if you blitz him because of their explosive speed outside, you know, you live by the blitz, but you can certainly die by the blitz. But the other thing that's critical, in my opinion, is they have to set the edge. And what I mean by that, Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy do such a great job of these behind-the-line scrimmage reverses, call them, you know, jet sweeps. And we've seen, going back to the championship game, that Mecole Hardman play. There's so many things they do behind the line of scrimmage that Pierre Paul and Shaq Barrett have to set the edge, contain any of these big explosive plays, and then make Kansas City go the long, hard way.
Gentlemen, when we get back, I want to talk about, because there's been so much talk and what you're alluding to, Mike, in regard to the Kansas City Chiefs offensive line not being stellar and not being 100%. Of course, we know because of all their injuries. But there's some issues on the Tampa Bay Bucks offensive line. One in particular matchup that I want to tee up for you guys when we get back. Also, we'll start taking your calls. 800-919-3776 is the phone number. Excited about the show. We're with you for the next 3 hours. Joe Banner is going to be joining us at the top of the hour at 9 o'clock, which is great. Good friend of mine, Stephanie Abrams from the Weather Channel, is going to be joining us at 10 o'clock. There was some concern that the weather conditions were not going to be good at kickoff as of right now. It looks like it's going to be beautiful. Not a cloud in the sky, not a drop of rain, and around 70 degrees. Now that's, as a Floridian, guys, that's what I call football weather. That's what I call football weather. Enough with this. Oh, it's snowing. It's 15 degrees below zero. That's football. No, no, I grew up in Miami. That is football weather.
This is New York Game Day with Anita Marks and Chris Canty on 98.7 ESPN.
I mean, I can't really tell you that. I think that's something that I don't know. Maybe you're.
Well, you were part of the offense. I mean, you were part of the offense, though. Like, and the offense was the worst in the league. Was it Sam or was it Adam Gase? What was the issue? Because they're, you know, they brought in some weapons, you being one of them, and there was some thought that the offense would improve, but it didn't.
I don't know. To be honest with you, I feel like that's a question. I mean, I know I didn't heard that question a lot. You know, I tell everybody the same thing. Like, for some reason, it just didn't click. Like, we were all, you know, it was some things were just, you know, just, I guess, bad situations. You know, like, I got hurt, Crowder got hurt, Mims got hurt. You know, we all didn't see the field till, like, week 8 or 9. Like, we were all on the field together at once. I think injury definitely had a part to do with it. I really couldn't give you, like, a this-what-it-was type of thing. Like, I honestly don't know to this day.
Rashard Perryman on with Alan Hahn and Bart Scott talking about what went wrong with Sam Darnold. And, again,
very interesting spot with those guys. Very interesting, Anita.
I'm sure. Breaking news. Thank you, Ty. Ty's producing the show, by the way, back in New York. So Adam Schefter is reporting that there are a number of teams that have reached out to the Jets and are very interested in one Sam Darnold. Now, keep in mind, there's some other quarterbacks out there that are looking to get traded. Deshaun Watson, he has put his foot in the sand and said, I will not take another snap for the Houston Texans. I had Bill Barnwell on my show yesterday. Bill Barnwell won't be surprised if Deshaun Watson does not play this coming NFL season if the Texans are so hell-bent on not trading him. Carson Wentz, he wants out of Philadelphia. So there's quite a few quarterbacks that are looking for new homes. What are some of the teams out there? Washington, the Colts, Carolina, the 49ers, Chicago, just to name a few. Chris, let's go back to you. If you can kind of elaborate a little bit more on that spot with Breshad Perriman and what he did say about Sam Darnold. And what are your thoughts in regard to Sam Darnold getting traded and not being a Jets quarterback next year?
Well, Anita, first of all, with Breshad Perriman, it's what he didn't say about Sam Darnold. I mean, in the course of that interview, he said that all of the issues that they had on the offensive side of the ball, they weren't all on Adam Gase. Now, he put it in part on injuries, but he said he couldn't quite put his finger on it. But he didn't say anything complimentary about Sam. As a matter of fact, he didn't mention Sam at all. He did talk about his former quarterback, Jameis Winston, and how he thought that that could be a welcome addition in terms of what he brings to the table. So to me, it spoke volumes what he didn't say about his Sam Darnold. Like, you know, most wide receivers, they're going to be complimentary of their quarterback. They just are, because that's the guy that's going to determine whether or not they get the ball. It's funny, but Breshad Perriman didn't really have a whole lot to say about Sam Darnold, and it feels like it was a roundabout way of kind of pointing the finger as to this guy being a big part of the issues that this Jets offense faced in 2020.
Mike?
And I think we're talking about two different types of players here. I've said this before. With Deshaun Watson, if I'm Joe Douglas, if I get on the phone with Nick Cassero, the new GM of the Texans, I don't get off the phone. We're talking about Derek Jeter here. We're not talking about a good football player that may win 9 or 10 games. We're talking about one of the 10 best players in our sport who's high character, who has impeccable leadership, under contract for the next 5 years. He's 25 years old, and he could – and, Chris, you know what it's like to win a championship in the city. There are still billboards of Phil Simms and Bill Parcells. This guy could take over New York for the next 2 decades. And, again, he could be the face of the city. He could be literally Derek Jeter. And if it cost me a second or a third round pick that I didn't want to pay, who cares? You could go find a Quinnen Williams, who happens to be, by the way, a good player, not a great player. Like, we're making him out to be like Aaron Donald, which he's not. He's a good player. You could go find replaceable parts, Denzel Mims, whatever else it would take. But you would change the trajectory of your franchise maybe for the next 2 decades if you have Deshaun Watson. And then we talk about things like the aura of association. Look what Tom Brady did in Tampa Bay. Guys like Leonard Fournette, Rob Gronkowski, Antonio Brown, everybody in the league, because it's New York City, it's the NFL, and a chance to play with Deshaun Watson, go get him, go get him, go get him. You will never – there's no downside to getting Deshaun Watson. As it relates to Sam Darnold, look, he's a great kid. I studied him coming out. He is – a good, maybe a very good quarterback, but at some point you have to show some sort of greatness, and he hasn't done that. He has not in 3 years. Clearly, Daniel Jones, with a much smaller sample set, has shown much more upside than Sam Darnold. I think Sam could be a competent starter in the NFL, but if I'm coming in, Robert Saleh, Joe Douglas has a chance to reset things. I think they're going to be hard-pressed to sit here and say, we could go win a Super Bowl with Sam Darnold.
Yeah, and you got the second overall pick, right, Mike? In an offseason where you got to make a decision on Sam Darnold's fifth-year option, and that would guarantee him $25 million in 2022, I just feel like this is a natural opportunity for the Jets to answer the question at the quarterback position. And from all accounts, it seems like they haven't made any definitive determination on what they're going to do. So if you're still not sold on Sam being your guy moving forward, with the second overall pick and with all the movement that we expect with quarterbacks around the league, to me this would be the offseason that you would make the decision to move off of him. And if you get a first-round pick from one of these teams that's starving for another quarterback, then for goodness sake, you absolutely got to take it.
Really quick, because I know we have Joe Banner who's going to be joining us at the top of the hour, Mike. What will it take? What do you think it'll take to get Sam Darnold? Like, what do you think Joe Douglas and the Jets can get for him, number one? And number two, give me, like, your top two teams that you think are a realistic landing place for him.
Yeah, I think it's a second-round pick because you look at Josh Rosen. Josh Rosen was a top 10 pick of Arizona. Cliff Kingsbury comes in. They move him to Miami for a second. I think that's really apples to apples. And then as I think Chicago and Indy would be really the two best locations for Sam, and hopefully he could thrive in a new, you know, change of scenery for him.
Sounds like Chicago might be off the board, though, right, depending on what happens with Wentz?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think, you know, teams are going to look at Wentz. They're going to look at Deshaun Watson, and Sam may be a good, you know, fallback position.
This is New York Game Day with Anita Marks and Chris Canty on 98.7 ESPN.
Some news and notes out there, by the way. Ian Rappaport's reporting that there's a possibility that Patrick Mahomes is going to have to undergo off-season foot surgery to repair his toe. Just shows you a little bit more serious injury than what we anticipated. Hopefully it doesn't flare up in this game. But as I mentioned, backup quarterbacks Chad Henne and Matt Moore. You want to say something, Mike?
Yeah, you know, Anita, just to take you behind the curtains, what happens is you get through your last game. Obviously, for everyone, you hope it's like today, the Super Bowl. But a lot of players may have what we would consider elective surgery. So there could be a little bit more to that, which is surgery is a possibility. But typically what you would do is you would get a couple of different opinions on it. And, you know, Chris could certainly speak to this as well. Like, you do want to avoid surgeries if you can, and if rest and rehab can get you back to where you are and you have, you know, the whole off season. So sometimes these reports of surgeries don't always turn out to be accurate. So I think it's a little bit more wait and see. And sometimes these are much more elective than I think is being currently suggested.
Well, hopefully that is the case. And some other news and notes, Antonio Brown and Sammy Watkins are both expected to suit up and play and be active today. As I like to call it, active. Yes. How attractive? We don't know. From what I understand, Antonio Brown's knee injury is a lot more serious, but obviously this is the Super Bowl. You want to play in it. Guys, also, other breaking news here in our own backyard. Like I said, when we went to a break, Adam Schefter is reporting that there are a number of teams that are interested in Sam Darnold. And, you know, Mike, I'd like to go back to you here. Does that surprise you at all? You and I have been talking about Sam Darnold for the last 2 months now in regard to what this franchise is going to do moving forward. And neither of us are head over heels in regard to what we've seen from Sam Darnold. I think that there's some promise there. But again, we really haven't seen a lot. Does this surprise you that Adam Schefter is reporting that there's a number of teams that are interested in his services?
No, because there's 18 teams that will be addressing their quarterback situation this offseason, and that includes teams like New Orleans, Tampa Bay, Atlanta. When you talk to people around the league, the 2022 draft has maybe one or two first-round quarterbacks led by Keenan Slottis out of USC. So if you need a quarterback this year or next year, this is your opportunity to get it. So we already touched on, you know, when Kansas City drafted Patrick Mahomes, they still had Alex Smith for one more year. So I have 18 teams that will be looking for a quarterback this offseason. So Sam Darnold is a guy that is looked upon as a good, again, not great quarterback, but he could be an upgrade at a number of spots, most notably places like Chicago and Indy. And I'm not surprised that we're going to see interest in Sam.
Wow. I guess my thing is the opportunity cost for the Jets, right? That's what you have to look at. It's like, okay, if you're going to stay with Sam Darnold, what are you passing on? The potential to take a quarterback at the second overall pick, the opportunity to go out there and try to be aggressive in the trade market to bring back a veteran quarterback. To me, those are a lot more promising avenues in terms of being able to figure out stability at the position than staying with Sam Darnold and exercising his fifth-year option. So I just feel like if you're the Jets – and there are other teams that are interested, then you got to gauge that and see what the compensation is, because it would make sense if you still aren't sold that Sam Darnold is the long-term solution at the quarterback spot.
You know, we had Joe Banner on at the 9 o'clock hour and really some great insight in regard to Deshaun Watson. And again, I had Bill Barnwell on my show yesterday, and I'm hearing that there's a likely that we won't see Deshaun Watson play this coming NFL season if both teams have, you know, stick their foot in the sand and said, nope, I'm not trading you, and nope, I'm not playing for you. What about Carson Wentz, Mike? We haven't really talked a lot about him. You know, I find this pretty interesting. You know, the team moves on from Doug Peterson, and reports were because Doug Peterson wanted to roll with Jalen Hurts over Carson Wentz. They say hasta la vista to Dougie. They stay with Carson Wentz, and then all of a sudden now Carson Wentz wants out. So what are you hearing here, and are the Colts a more likely landing place for Carson Wentz, or is it the Chicago Bears, which is getting a lot of buzz?
Yeah, to me, if Philly moves on from Carson Wentz, it's a little bit like Detroit, where new head coach, Nick Sirianni, first year, if you're going on from Wentz, you'd rather do it this year than next year, eat the cap charge, which is going to be massive. And the reason I think Indy makes a ton of sense for Wentz is because Frank Reich is the coach that he had the most success with. And one other thing that I think is really interesting to note in this situation is a lot of people feel close to the Manning family that Eli had the right disposition to succeed and thrive in New York much more so than Peyton. Peyton, obviously, all-time great, but just from their sort of like personalities. And Carson Wentz is a guy that is from, you know, North Dakota, and I think a place like Indianapolis would be a much better place for him, just in terms of, look, the Northeast isn't for everybody. I was born there. I grew up there. I obviously worked there for most of my professional career, but if you're from North Dakota and you like to, like, hunt and fish and kind of a low-key guy, I'm not so sure Philadelphia is the best place for you, so I think there's another intangible at play here. And I think for him to get closer to home would be something that he would like to do.
This is New York Game Day with Anita Marks and Chris Canty on 98.7 ESPN.
On from once, you'd rather do it this year than next year, eat the cap charge, which is going to be massive. And the reason I think Indy makes a ton of sense for Wentz is because Frank Reich is the coach that he had the most success with. And one other thing that I think is really interesting to note in this situation is a lot of people feel close to the Manning family that Eli had the right disposition to succeed and thrive in New York much more so than Peyton. Peyton, obviously, all-time great, but just from their sort of like personalities. And Carson Wentz is a guy that is from, you know, North Dakota, and I think a place like Indianapolis would be a much better place for him, just in terms of, look, the Northeast isn't for everybody. I was born there. I grew up there. I obviously worked there for most of my professional career. But if you're from North Dakota and you like to, like, hunt and fish and kind of a low-key guy, I'm not so sure Philadelphia is the best place for you. So I think there's another intangible at play here. And I think for him to get closer to home would be something that he would like.
It's everyone's favorite. Can he or can't he?
I'm saying I intend to take bets as soon as possible.
Really just a segment where we talk prop bets and lines.
All right, time for can or can't he, prop bet style. You ready, big guy?
I'm ready, Anita.
All right, here we go. Patrick Mahomes, over under 2.5 touchdown passes. He's got 30 passing touchdowns in the red zone this season, and the Bucs have allowed the highest percentage of passing touchdowns in the red zone and passing plays in the red zone. Can or can't he, over 2.5?
Oh, Anita, I got to say he can, absolutely. I'm absolutely going over Pat Mahomes throwing 2.5 touchdowns. Like, this is going to be one of those, like, it's not if but when, and no matter what kind of game script we have, Pat Mahomes is going to be in the middle of it in terms of being able to toss multiple touchdowns. If they have a blowout over the Bucs, he's going to be airing it out. If they've got to come from behind against the Bucs, guess what? He's going to be airing it out. So I just feel like this is one of those situations where Pat Mahomes throwing over 2.5 touchdowns, you can book it.
Here's a report, another one from Ian Rappaport. Is this funny? It's so interesting, right? Like, you know, the day of the Super Bowl, all these reports come out. But Ian Rappaport's reporting that Jordan Whitehead is playing through a fully torn labrum. Just FYI. So I even like that.
Yeah, we're just going to have to go ahead and shoot that up and get ready to roll. It's the Super Bowl, Anita.
Exactly. Yeah,
it's the Super Bowl. You only got one more game to play.
Yeah. There's probably 2 dozen players with torn.
Yeah, tell about it, Mike.
Tyreek Hill, over under 6.5 receptions. He just destroyed Carlton Davis in week 12. 15 targets, 13 receptions, over 270 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Over under 6.5 receptions for Tyreek Hill.
I'm going to go under, Anita. Like, I mean, Todd Bowles knows that Tyreek Hill can't be the guy to beat him. You saw that in week 12 where he had 200 yards receiving in the first quarter. Like, that can't happen. Like, they're going to make them go to other receivers. They're going to double Tyreek Hill. They're probably going to double Travis Kelce a lot of the time. Like, this is going to be a game where the others are going to have to step up. And I mean Sammy Watkins and Pringle and Mecole Hardman. Those guys are going to have to beat them. Bruce Arians came out and was talking about it yesterday, the importance of being able to get after Pat Mahomes with a four-man rush. He's saying that with the intention of being able to eliminate Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce by throwing multiple bodies at both of those guys on the back end in coverage. So, yeah, I'm going to go under on Tyreek Hill on the number of receptions.
You mentioned Sammy Watkins. Playoff Sammy. Over 3.5 receptions. If this plays true and the Bucs go a lot less in regard to a single high safety, they're going to give them everything underneath. Also, Sammy Watkins plays 50% of the time out of the slot. So I like the over here. But thoughts on Sammy Watkins? Can or can't he over under 3.5 receptions?
I'm going to go under, Anita. I'm going to go under. I mean, Sammy Watkins has been out for a while. I know that they'll try to scheme up some big plays for him, some shot plays for him, because that's who he is as a player. And he's the biggest receiver body that they have in their wide receiver room. So I can imagine a shot, maybe two, but I don't think this is going to be a major Sammy Watkins day. I don't think they're going to feature him.
Travis Kelce, does he score the Bucs' first touchdown? 11 touchdowns in the regular season, 3 in the post.
You mean the Chiefs' touchdown, right?
I'm sorry. The Chiefs. Travis Kelce, 11 touchdowns in the regular season, 3 in the post. Mismatch against Devin White, not a great cover linebacker, based on PFF's rankings. Mm-hmm. And he also leads the NFL in touchdowns against cover two. Travis Kelce, first touchdown for the Kansas City Chiefs at +120. Can or can't he?
Yeah, I love that one, Anita. Actually, that's one of my best prop bets of the Super Bowl. I love it. Travis Kelce has got a streak of 6 straight games with a touchdown reception. And you mentioned the cover that Devin White is. He's not very good in coverage against tight ends. Outstanding in coverage against running backs, not so much against tight ends. And if you look at the Bucs' red zone defense, the touchdowns that they allow, 70% of them come through the air. So you know Travis Kelce is a nightmare down in that area for that team. So I love Travis Kelce for the first touchdown for the Chiefs. I also love him with the anytime touchdown at -165. If you want to try to put those together, make a little magic happen, why not? Like, I love both of those prop bets.
All right, let's take a look at what's going on the Tampa Bay Bucs side of the game. Tom Brady, over under 301.5 passing yards. Now, keep in mind, he has not put up 280 in the last two games. He's only got a 55% completion percentage. And again, we've been talking predominantly throughout the show just how good this Kansas City team's secondary is. So over under 301.5 passing yards for Tom Brady, Chris. Can or can't he?
Ooh, Anita. It's a lot of yards, Anita. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of
yards.
I'm going
way under here.
That's a lot of yards, Anita. I would probably lean toward the over on this, Anita, just because I do think there's going to be a lot of fireworks in this Super Bowl. And Tom Brady knows with Pat Mahomes on that other sideline, he's got to keep his foot on the gas. So I think they're going to score a lot of points. I think they're going to score early and often. So I would take the over on that number of passing yards.
Let's talk about Chris Godwin. Over, under 5.5 receptions. Keep in mind, week 12, 9 targets, 8 receptions, 97 yards. Here's an interesting stat for you. Wide receivers against Kansas City secondary. 65% completion percentage out of the slot, only 15.15% completion percentage to wide outs. Godwin, 82 of 112 targets out of the slot this season. I love Chris Godwin. I think he's going to be the difference maker in the Tampa Bay Bucs keeping up pace with Patrick Mahomes. So I like the over here. Can or can't he 5.5 receptions?
Yeah, I'm going to say he can go over 5.5 receptions, Anita. I think Chris Godwin can have a big game, and I think they should look for him to have a big game. Because clearly, listen, if you're the Chiefs secondary, you know you've got to have somebody covering Mike Evans and probably be better suited with multiple guys covering him. That's going to leave opportunities for Chris Godwin to go to work, Anita. And so, I definitely like that over 5.5 receptions.
And here's another one, and this is my favorite, by the way, my favorite prop bet, my best bet today is Leonard Fournette over 3.5 receptions. The last 2 weeks, he's played 70% of the snaps. He's got 10 receptions in the last 2 weeks. Ronald Jones, he's not a really big part of the passing game. In Kansas City, they allow the most receiving yards to opposing running backs. And of course, they play a lot of the two safety. You talk about them playing a lot of dimes, so they're going to give you mm-hmm. everything underneath. This is my favorite bet on the table today, Chris. Fournette over 3.5 receptions. Can or can't he?
I'm going to say he's going to be under that number, Anita.
Whoa.
I'm going to say.
Bottle of wine? Bottle of wine. It's my best bet.
Anita,
it's
can I get in on that one too?
Yeah, absolutely. It's my best bet.
Yeah.
I'm in for wine. I'm taking the under.
Yeah.
This guy has struggled catching the ball, going back to high school, LSU, Jacksonville. I just don't think he's a natural catcher.
Yeah, I'm with Mike T on that one, Anita. Let's make it a bottle of wine, and if I win, I want it to be Quilt. The Quilt Ooh. Cab, yeah. Let me get that.
There you go, let around the board. That. Two bottles of wine for yeah, Anita so three, from each of
three,
you.
Three and a half catches for
Yeah, he
that,
needs
right?
four receptions in this game. Four receptions.
Oh, boy.
Yeah,
I tell you what.
I'm under on that one.
Okay.
I'm under that one. So, Anita, that's your best bet of the day, right?
It is.
Okay. So, my best bets of the day. Best bets of the day. Like, this is money in the
prop
bank.
Prop bets.
Best prop bets. I'm telling you. Best money in the bank. Tom Brady over a half a yard rushing.
I like that one.
That's at plus 155.
Whether it's a quarterback keep to for third down conversion
exactly.
or fourth down conversion or even, you know, a quarterback
even at the
keep
goal
a
line,
touchdown.
Yeah, exactly. So Tom Brady over a half yard rushing. I love that, plus 155. And then Tom Brady over 2.5 passing touchdowns. That's at plus 125. I just think that with this game, the Bucs are going to have to score north of 30 points in order to have a chance at beating the Chiefs. With Pat Mahomes at the helm, there have only been two teams to beat the Chiefs without scoring 30 or more points. So I just feel like you're going to have to put points on the board. And, of course, that means Tom Brady is going to have to drop back and throw the ball. And then Brady's got in three of the last five games, he's thrown for three or more touchdowns. So I like that prop bet as well. Again, Brady over 2.5 passing touchdowns at plus 125.
Anita's three locks of the week.
That's right. I don't know. I don't have three. Why don't we do this? We'll do these three. So my three locks in regard to how am I going to play this game? I'm taking the Kansas City Chiefs -3. I'm also going to buy the hook at -2.5. I'm taking the Kansas City Chiefs over 30 points, and you could get that at even money. And also, I'm taking the over in this game over 56 points. Okay, that's how I'm playing this. Also, as you guys know, you can wager, and these are more prop bets, you could wager on what you think the exact score is going to be. I'm not going to give that to you yet. I know that's how we typically end our show with our exact score. So I'll wait for that. But that's how I'm playing this. Again, as we opened up the show and I shared with folks, when this line first came out, it was 3. And then it was really interesting for like a good hour. The line jumped up to 3.5, plus 3.5 for the Tampa Bay Bucs. And a lot of sharks, a lot of sharp money, a lot of wise guys in Vegas, they jumped all over it. And so quote unquote sharp money is on the Tampa Bay Bucs plus 3.5. And then the line dropped back down immediately when that happened. I don't anticipate this line to drop below 3. I don't believe it'll drop to 2.5. So if you want that 2.5, you're going to have to pay for it. -142, -138 in some places, shop around, get your best value. But that's how I'm playing this. Chris, thoughts on any of those bets and how I envision this game playing out?
No, Anita, I love where your head's at. I like the Chiefs laying the 3 points, and I like the over on this game as well. And just because I love money and I want our listeners to make money, I got another prop bet that I really, really love in this game.
Bring it.
It's over on 2.5 players throwing the ball tonight,
yep.
And that's at plus 140. Kelce and Watkins have both thrown passes this year for the Chiefs, and then Brady offenses in two of the last three Super Bowls had someone else throw the football. So I think we're going to see somebody other than Pat Mahomes and Tom Brady throw the ball tonight in tonight's game.
I love it. Daily Wager, which kicks off in about 20 minutes on ESPN2. Shameless plug, not so shameless. Please tune in. This was one of the prop bets that I requested that I do for the show. But Preston Johnson, this is one of his best prop bets on the opposite side, that it won't be 2.5. But Chris, I'm with you. Number one, you got to be concerned about a blowout. Backup quarterback coming in. It is the Super Bowl. Yep. Everybody wants to say that I threw a pass in the Super Bowl. Number two, you got to worry about injury. Number three, trick plays. Like you said, this season, Kelce, Watkins, and Kansas City's punter, Townsend, all threw a pass. And it's Andy Reid. You know he's got something tricky up his sleeve. So I'm with you, Chris. I love that prop bet. But I got blown out for today's Daily Wager show, because that is the opposite side is the best bet for Preston Johnson, who's a professional handicapper. I'm just a degenerate gambler.
Just have some convictions with your predictions, Anita.
Yeah, that's what needs to happen. All right, guys, this is what we're going to... Oh, actually, let's take some calls before we take a break. And we come back with our last segment, and we'll give you our score predictions. And I can't wait to hear Mike Tannenbaum's bomb of the game. Let's go to Buddha in the Bronx. Buddha, you're up.
Hey, what's going on, guys? You guys did a great job this year, man. I love you guys. Mr. T, I love you, man. We miss you, man.
Thank you. Appreciate you guys, and... I have a lot of, I was born in the Bronx, got a lot of family there, so I appreciate that.
Nah, man, we love you, man. All the Jets fans love you. We miss you, man. Listen, I think it's a close game. For some reason, I got the feeling like Watkins and the Honey Badger are going to have big games today. I don't know why. But you guys played Bashar Perriman a little while ago, and I mean, like, listen, man, we all know Sam's not good, and we all know Sam's not going to be here. But, bro, you know, how many games did this guy play? How many games has he played every season? I mean, he was a bad signing. Douglas, he might have done well with the draft picks, but, I mean, the free agency, come on, man. Him, Desir got benched in the second game. I mean, I hope this is not what we got to look forward to, man, in the next few years. But that guy needs to shut his trap, man, to be honest. He's like, I don't really care if you don't like Sam Darnold or not. Like, dude, you is like peanut butter and jelly, and him is, and being injured is like the same thing. They go hand in hand. I don't really want to hear nothing from him, man. I really don't, man.
Well, here's the thing. Brashad didn't say anything about Sam, and that was probably the most troubling part about that entire interview, because you would expect that your receiver would have some commentary about the guy that helps him do his job after the season, especially when your offense was dead last in scoring. So the fact that he didn't come out and say anything, I think that speaks volumes in terms of how he feels about Sam. And you have to wonder, it brings into question whether or not, or how much of the problem Sam Darnold actually was. And so for me, I'm not going to say that Sam Darnold can't be a good quarterback in the National Football League. I'm with Joe Banner in that I don't think he'll be a difference maker, but I still see a talented player. It's just that I don't know that I can pass on other avenues that I would have to address the quarterback position this offseason, because Sam is still a relative question mark. I still don't know if he's going to do it, whereas I have a chance via either the draft or trading for a guy or in free agency to improve that position.
Yeah, I don't want Sam here either, but I don't want Perriman either. I mean, he can go too, please. Like, well, come on, man. Like, you know, we guys play 3, 4, 5, 6 games. Like, ain't nobody want to hear your opinion, bro.
Well, he's a free agent, so I would lean toward him probably not being back, because I think the Jets will have a chance to upgrade the receiver position, too.
He's a clown. I'm sorry.
But by the way, I agree. The two players you mentioned, I think Watkins has a chance to have a big, big game today, and Tyrann Mathieu is to me, the bigger the game, the better he plays. I think those are two really.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that if the Chiefs
or Watkins,
yeah, I think for the Chiefs, they're gonna have to have one of those other receivers step up. They're going to have to, because I honestly believe Todd Bowles is going to take Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce away from him. So they're going to have another plan on how they're going to get productivity from their receivers. And I think Watkins could be a big part of it, but I don't know, him coming back from the injury, that concerns me a little bit.
Who's going to win? Let's do some predictions.
All right. Here we go. Our predictions. Who wants to? Chris, you start us off, man. You start us off.
All right. I'm going to start us off, Anita. I'm going to roll with the Kansas City Chiefs in the final score of 37-31. And Pat Mahomes is Super Bowl MVP. They go back-to-back for the first time in the NFL since Brady went back-to-back in 03-04. And we're going to be talking about, on the other side of this game, the dynastic run and when we're going to talk about an end being in sight. But, yeah, I got the Kansas City Chiefs taking care of the business. They're winning the game 37-31.
Mike?
So I'm really proud of this. Back in August, we did this thing for ESPN, and all the analysts have predicted who would be in the Super Bowl, and there's three people left. Darren Orlovsky and myself had Kansas City beating Tampa Bay, and Jeff Darlington had Tampa beating Kansas City. So we'll see. But I'm going to go with what I said in August. I got Kansas City 27, Tampa Bay 24.
So Kansas City 27, Tampa, I'm just writing this down, 27-24. Okay, listen, we've been talking about it all show long. You know what side of the coin I'm on, and that's with Kansas City. Interesting, Chris, I'm closer to you. I've got 37-20. Hold on. What did I have? Hold on one second.
Uh-oh. Make sure you get it right now.
No, because I think I have it. I was going to say, I think I have it exactly, and that's a little surprising, right? I think I have it exactly where you are.
Okay.
Hold on one second. Let me just confirm. Oh, okay. No. I have it 34-23. Kansas okay. City, 34. The Tampa Bay Bucks, 23. And by the way, you can wager on the exact score. For Kansas City to score 34 points, you can get that at 16-1. And for the Tampa Bay Bucks to score exactly 23 points, again, you could get that at 16-1. Also, exact margin of victory between 7 and 12 points, you can get it 9-2. And also, I also have Kansas City up at the half as well as the game winner at 8-5. And as I said earlier, I also have them scoring over 30 points.
Okay.
So. Yeah.
Right.
Let's end on this discussion, and I'm just going to tee this up for you guys and have you guys take this home. And that is, you know, we're on the precipice, and I love whenever I get to use that word, it's so exciting. We're on the precipice of possibly the greatest of all time. And right now, as we know, we have appointed Tom Brady as being that. But for Patrick Mahomes, if the Kansas City, and we're all sitting here predicting Kansas City to win, if he wins, and of course we're anticipating him to win another MVP, and the way that this Kansas City Chiefs team has aligned themselves in regard to salary cap space and how they've drafted and whatnot, you know, this, dare I say, destiny, I will say it. And Patrick Mahomes very well could be on his way of potentially maybe winning even more Super Bowls than Tom Brady. I'm just curious to get your thoughts in regard to, you know, just how epic and how otherworldly Patrick Mahomes is and what your expectations are for him and his career in the future.
Well, Anita, I think we're watching something that we've never seen before. I don't think that's hyperbolic. I think that's just the reality of it. Like when Michael Jordan came along in the NBA in the 80s, like it was literally something that we had never seen before. Like people in and around basketball prior to that were saying, yeah, we haven't seen a guy like Michael Jordan. I feel like this is the NFL's version of that with Pat Mahomes. Like, he is supremely talented, supremely gifted. Just some of the things that he does, you're just not used to seeing a player capable of being able to do. But that being said, I think the odds are stacked against him to have the kind of longevity and to kind of have the success that Tom Brady has had in this game in terms of winning championships. It takes a lot to be able to win one championship. And I think we look at Tom Brady's career and people take it for granted and say, oh, because he's not supremely gifted with, you know, he doesn't have these dominant traits in terms of athleticism, that we think anybody that has those traits is capable of doing it. And that's just not the case. Like, Tom Brady is a one of one. Like, I don't think we're going to be able to, you know, we're going to be able to point to Pat Mahomes' career, any other quarterback's career, and kind of see the success that Tom Brady's had. So all of the things that Pat Mahomes, it's been great, but I just don't see him being able to, well, I'm not going to say I don't see it, but I'm just going to say it's going to be hard for him to eclipse Tom Brady in terms of getting to the Super Bowl and winning as many championships as he has.
You know what's interesting, guys, is that either Tom Brady is going to win his second Super Bowl over the age of 40, or Patrick Mahomes is going to win his second Super Bowl before the age of 25. And you know, either is really incredible.
To his point, if Mahomes and the Chiefs are going to have this dynastic run, they're going to have continuity. And, you know, for the foreseeable future, the next 2 or 3 years, you could see, okay, they've got all of their core players locked up under contract, and those guys are at a certain age where you're not worried about the productivity falling off of a cliff. But what happens when Tyreek Hill ages out? What happens when Travis Kelce ages out? What happens when Andy Reid decides he wants to walk away? I mean, where do they turn from there? I mean, I understand that he signed a new contract and he's going to be locked up for the next 5 years. But, I mean, Pat Mahomes is about to get into the first year of a contract extension in 2021, and you're talking about him being your quarterback for the next decade. What happens when you got to retool the support staff around him? I guess that's the biggest question mark with Tom Brady. He was able to have that marriage with Bill Belichick for 20 years, and they had unprecedented success.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Chris. And just to take that a step further, every year they would lose a Richard Seymour, a Lawyer Malloy, on and on and on, and they were able to just rebuild on the fly and retool on the fly. And that's the one question mark. Not saying that Patrick Mahomes can't do it, but that's the one question mark he's going to have to be able to answer. It was someone's going to graduate, be it Sammy Watkins, Mecole Hardman, and will they be able to sustain greatness when they start losing players?
All right, Mike, it's about that time. Time for the...
The bomb is about to be dropped. It's Tannenbaum's Bomb of the Week.
Here we go. What you got for us this week, Mike T?
All right. Yeah, Chris, I'm going to say that Ronald Jones is the MVP of the game today.
Wow. That is going out on a limb. Okay, so as a receiver out of the backfield, Ronald Jones is going to have an impact, so much so that Mr. T thinks he's going to be Super Bowl MVP. We shall see.
This is New York Game Day with Anita Marks and Chris Canty on 98.7 ESPN.